Brian. He's like, you walk into a bar, any bar in Knoxville.
It's playing.
You walk in, boom, Mo Bamba. You go up to the bar, you get a beer. 5 minutes later, you drink like half of that beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. You finish that beer, you go to the bathroom, you go back to the bar to get another beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. It's Mo Bamba, Mo Bamba, and Mo Bamba.
What's that song called again?
Mo Bamba.
Got hour number two of overtime on deck here. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. We did the postmortem for the Nashville Predators to open up the show. Talked about Rick Barnes strongly denying Seth Davis's report in The Athletic yesterday that he was the first one to reach out to UCLA during their coaching search. Gave you an update on the college basketball corruption scandal. A star witness actually said that he has made payments to football players, naming programs such as Michigan, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Northwestern, Penn State, and Alabama. Very shocked. And we also talked about ending hour number one here. All the people that are expected in Nashville this weekend. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to have some claustrophobic anxiety. Going to have bad social anxiety.
I hope you make it.
I might not.
I hope you do.
I might need some Valium. Can y'all give me some Valium?
Yeah, I don't have it.
I'm not actually condoning that. Do not give me any drugs, please.
I don't have
that
any
are not mine either. Prescribed to me.
I don't have any either.
I only take some drugs that are prescribed to me over the counter. Do not condone anything else. No. Anyway, here we got hour number two just starting here. One down, one remaining here. About to turn it over to Cole McCormick. As usual, he's going to give us your daily recruiting update at 7 o'clock here. Formerly sponsored by Knoxville Stone Interiors, now sponsored by KC Kitchen Center, brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors.
There it is.
Same people, same great customer service, just a brand new, amazing, beautiful, convenient location as well. They're bringing it to you still. And now, Cole McCormick will bring you the recruiting update. Cole Talk.
All right. Thank you, Tanner. Tonight, we will start on the hardwood. We've talked about him before, and I will talk about him again. Jalen Cohn is expected to be in Knoxville in just a few short weeks. Jake Weingarten of StockRisers.com tweets, Tennessee will host four-star junior Jalen Cohn for an official visit beginning May 10th, a source has told StockRisers. Could potentially move up to the 2019 class with the Vols. Rick Barnes met with Cohn earlier this morning, and that was a few days ago. Mr. Cohn, 5'11", 163-pound point guard in the 2020 class. Could move up to the 2019 class out of Walkertown, North Carolina at Walkertown High School. 247 sports composite rankings, four-star prospect, 11th overall point guard in the class, fourth best player in the state of North Carolina, 83rd overall player nationally. Other offers for Mr. Cohn come from, of course, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Providence, Stanford, Virginia Tech, and many, many more. So, you know, potentially our point guard of the future will be on campus May 10th. So good to see that. Next, Ahmad Foston has received a scholarship to play at Tennessee. He tweets, was blessed to be in the company of legends from the University of Tennessee. Look forward to my next visit. That was a few days ago as well. Mr. Foston is a running back in the 2021 class. He's out of Milledgeville, Georgia at John Millage Academy. 5'11", 199 pounds. I misspoke. It was not an offer. He was just on campus for a visit. No rankings at the moment, no crystal ball predictions at the moment, and sad day for Mr. Foston, no offers yet. So hopefully he can rack some up here soon, but a 2021 running back was on campus just a few days ago. Next, we move to Junior Colson. Let's see, he has been given a scholarship to Tennessee. He tweets, blessed and honored to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag GBO. Mr. Colson is an outside linebacker in the 2021 class. 6'2", 210 pounds. An in-state guy out of Brentwood, Tennessee over at Ravenwood High School. 247 Sports has him ranked as a four-star prospect in the 2021 class. 14th overall outside linebacker in the class and sixth best player in the state of Tennessee. Other offers to go along with this new Tennessee offer come from Kentucky, Louisville, South Carolina, and Texas A&M, to just name a few. Next, oh goodness, Ejelu Nunu Agelu Nunu has been given an offer from Tennessee. He tweets, blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee. Mr. Nunu is a defensive tackle from Lake Butler, Florida at Union County High School. 6 foot, 344-pound young man in the 2020 class. 247 Sports has him ranked as a three-star prospect, 89th overall defensive tackle in the 2020 class, 138th best player in the state of Florida. Other offers to go along with his new and hot Tennessee offer come from Air Force, Arizona, Coastal Carolina, FIU, and FAU. Next, as I scroll down here, Steve Speedy Wilson has been given an offer to play at Tennessee. He tweets, blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag powered by the T. Hashtag go Vols. He put an E in Vols. So he spelled Vols. I don't know how I feel about that, but he will learn. Mr. Wilson is a current Michigan Wolverine commit. I definitely got the wrong guy because this says class of 2008. Hang on. Let me go to a different page. Steve. Nope, still the wrong page. I don't know who this guy is. Let's see. This is bad radio. Let's pull up his Huddle profile. Okay, here we go. He is from Detroit, Michigan at Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. He is in the 2021 class. Let's see here. He is 5'11", 160 pounds. So got some growing to do, but he is in next year's class. So good to see him also get a offer to Tennessee. I did not realize when I first clicked on that first profile that was a guy back in 08. So that is my bad. But last, but certainly not least for tonight, Inai White has also been given an offer to play at Tennessee. He tweets, beyond blessed to receive my 15th offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag Vols, hashtag Vol Nation. Mr. White is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at Imhotep Institute High School. He's a defensive end in the 2022 class, 6'5", 225 pounds. No rankings at the moment. No crystal ball predictions at the moment. To go along with his new Tennessee offer, he holds other scholarships from Baylor, Maryland, UMass, Oklahoma State, and Rutgers. So good for him. And that will conclude this Tuesday edition of the Recruiting Update. Thank you, fellas.
Thank you, Cole.
You're welcome.
Way to go.
Thank you, Cole. Thank you. Recruiting Update is always brought to you by who formerly was Knoxville Stone Interiors, who is now, at the end of the month, going to be KC Kitchen Center. Same great experienced and friendly KSI staff, just moving over to 5902 Kingston Pike at the bottom of Bearden Hill. It's going to be the same great selection at the best value in Knoxville when it comes to countertop selections. If you've been wanting to redo your kitchen, bathroom, an entertainment center, or even an outdoor kitchen, as summer is quickly approaching, you want to do some outdoor cooking, they are the folks to go after. Is granite, quartz, marble, and more. Hundreds of different selections as well. The new center, once again, we've been telling you a lot about it, but they're going to have a test kitchen. They're going to have a creative classroom. They're going to have an event center that Rick told DB this last night. Guess how old this event center is? It's a chapel that's attached to the new location.
Obviously 69 years old.
No. A lot older.
420 years old.
Not that old.
300.
From the 1880s. What? So it's been there for a minute.
Looking. Wow. It's older than me.
It is.
Just slightly older than you. But yeah, just a great part for an event center you're going to have at the new kitchen center as well. If you want a free quote estimate, all you gotta do is call me 865-971-5800 and go online to KnoxStoneInteriors.com and you can fill out a quote estimate request form. It's Knoxville Stone Interiors, now KC Kitchen Center, 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and counting. Ooh, what do we want to do here? Rick, do we want to save Wrestling Minute for the next segment to let you prepare for a little bit? Do you have anything ready right now?
I don't prepare for these. I go straight off of my memory.
You know what? We got some time. Cole, find me the Batista entrance.
I'm on it.
And you let me know when you're ready. I'm going to get my timer out as well.
60 seconds.
And we're going to exactly 60 seconds. No more, no less. And we're going
to... All right, you got me Rick, in the the 15-second intervals again, right?
That's true. I'm going to keep you updated. Cole, do we have it ready?
We got it.
Play the music. It's time for Rick's Wrestling Minute. Rick Butler in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, first off, we take a trip into the fun house, the Firefly fun house with Bray Wyatt. I don't know what's going on with that guy, but he's doing really cool things, although his hair not really cool. It's very weird. Sami Zayn still telling everyone he'll see you in hell. All right, Sami Zayn, I'll see you there too. That's pretty good. I'll follow that.
15.
You got Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is doing the thing with the Lacey Evans, who Lacey Evans kind of just seems like one of those promiscuous characters because there was referenced that she was doing something dirty. I don't know what that's about. AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, that's just a dream match. What more do you want for that?
Dirty.
Robert Roode, the porn star. Okay. Oh, my gosh. The new mustache, I'm digging it. I'm all in. The Viking experience, now the Viking Raiders. Way to go, WWE. You're not a bunch of complete idiots. Yeah. All right? Aleister Black, Andrade, Cesaro, those homies, they got switched after the Superstar Shakeup, meaning they have no idea what they're doing. The Big O! No, not that Big O. I'm talking about Kevin Owens, all right? He's doing great. Oh, I got confused. He's doing a great job on SmackDown. Happy birthday, John Cena!
Oh, wow. You ruined one. You ruined one birthdays.
Well, I already knew it.
Good job.
I already knew it.
Ugh. Should I throw that one out?
No.
Cole, do you want me to throw that one out?
Do what you want. I don't care.
Yeah, okay. He doesn't care that many to you.
Okay.
I already knew it was his birthday, too.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
The strategy has been revealed. How about that, Rick Butler? Another successful wrestling minute. Once he give himself a round of applause as well.
Yeah.
One of my new favorite segments of the station, not just the show, of the station.
I think he does a good job at it.
I like it.
He can fit in a good amount of knowledge into exactly 60 seconds. I'm a fan.
Yeah, which we hit some good topics. My favorites being Robert Roode, which if you've not seen a picture of this guy,
the stash.
Go search Robert
Roode
on Twitter, and oh my gosh, shades of Rick Roode, shades of...
So why is he back to like his actual name? Why is he back to Robert Roode from Bobby
Roode? I think
Roode?
He's going heel. We got a heel turn.
When I first saw him in TNA back in the day, he was Robert Roode.
Well, the best.
He had like the long hair.
Yeah. The best is if they throw a suit on him, I'm just take my money. Mm. Take it all. So good. We also didn't mention that Roman Reigns is apparently going to get fired tonight. So who cares?
I can't wait. I got a text from one of my friends who's a big, big wrestling fan. He said, excellent wrestling minute.
Oh.
So you're already getting rave reviews, sir.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job, Reek.
I'm very into the fun Firefly house.
I watched... Because
should we
show
Cole that during the break?
I think we should.
And just see what he thinks.
Would it be more fun for him without the context
yeah.
of knowing who he was
yeah.
before?
Yeah.
I think so.
I just want to see his initial thoughts on it.
I think we should do that.
I'm going to pull it up.
Let's go ahead and take a break here. We got on the other side, we got some new rules for the 2019 college football season, mainly concerning the targeting rule, which is everybody's favorite. And we also have ones concerning modifications to overtime and how that's going to work in 2019 and moving forward here. We'll read the room. We'll get the reaction of it because I certainly think the targeting won. They've definitely improved upon that. In the overtime, we shall see. It's definitely going to look a little different when the season commences in 2019, but we'll share those with you on the other side. We got to show Cole this video real quick. We got to get his reaction here. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Back with more overtime on the other side. Another offseason, another new batch of changes to college football. You ready for these? Are you ready for these?
Bring it.
Yeah.
Almost felt like the pirate in SpongeBob for a second. Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain.
We'll see what you think about this. All right, so the two biggest ones here, and I don't even know if these are the only two they change, but every year, you know this is going to happen. The NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel are going to they're going to hear suggestions for rule changes, and they'll either approve or disapprove them. Simple as that. Well, they've approved two big ones today here, which includes a tweak to college football's overtime rules. Big fan of overtime on this show, boys. I don't know about you.
Yeah, huge fan.
Huge fan. So let's talk about overtime first. There's overtime and targeting. We will start with overtime since it's, well, in this article here, it's the first thing I've reached. So, in what is certainly not a direct reply to that seven overtime thriller between Texas A&M and LSU at the end of the regular season last year, certainly not in the 74-72 seven overtime win for Texas A&M.
It's amazing.
One of the craziest things I've ever stayed up and watched when it comes to sports. They almost got 10. I was rooting for an eighth overtime so bad.
Oh, everybody was.
That would have been officially the longest game in the history of college football. Man, I was rooting. But it didn't happen. A&M won in seven. So, moving forward now, if a game advances to a fifth overtime, so overtimes one through four, going to be exactly the same as they have been. However, if it gets to a fifth overtime, instead of the alternating possessions from, you know, each team starting at its own 25 and trying to score, instead of that, once the game reaches the fifth overtime from now on, teams will run alternating two-point plays instead of regain possession from the 25-yard line. So, yeah.
Wait, hang on. Say that again.
If a game gets to a fifth overtime, instead of having each team start at their opponent's 25-yard line, they're just going to run alternating two-point plays.
So it's essentially just one do-or-die play.
Yeah. They're going to have one do-or-die play, and the first two, you know, obviously it's going to be the same type of deal, whereas, you know, the first team to go, if they get it, they have to stop the other team. Game's over.
Okay.
Or, you know, first team doesn't get it, second team scores, it's game over. Or neither team scores and they just keep going.
Okay, I can get down with that.
Or of course, they keep going, both teams score too.
Yeah, I think the tough part is, like, as much as we would have loved to see, you know, that A&M LSU game going to a billion overtimes probably, you know, because that is really fun. You know, so there's a part of you that's like, no, I don't know. I kind of wanted to see him play more overtimes. It's also like, all right, those kids were literally on the verge of death.
Yeah.
Those kids were on the verge
I've never seen such exhausted players.
Wheelbarreled out of the stadium in the masses. And so this makes a lot of sense. And also, how often do these things get to five overtimes?
I don't know. How many five overtime plus games were there last year outside of that LSU-Texas A&M game?
I doubt there was one. Let me
look. Do me some Googling, Rick. I'll read you the rest of this article here. Of course, the NCAA already requires teams to attempt a two-point conversion instead of an extra point starting in the third overtime. And so this is basically this Yahoo article says, think of this new change as college football's version of penalty kicks. That's a good way to think of it.
Okay,
that's a good little comparison here.
Shootouts or?
The NCAA says that this was passed in an effort to, quote, limit the number of plays from scrimmage and bring the game to a conclusion. And as part of the change, the NCAA is instituting two-minute rest periods after the second and fourth overtimes. So it's really about, I mean, this is what most rules are done nowadays, making it a better, quicker product and improving player safety. Because, I mean, if you have players out there for seven-plus overtimes, not only are they going to be completely, like, just walking corpses, the risk of injury is only heightened. So they're doing that with player safety in mind here. The next one here. So that's your overtime change here. Up or down, thumbs up, thumbs down, overtime. I like it.
Yeah, thumbs up.
I like it. It's doing it with player safety in mind. And as fun as watching, like you said, Rick, as fun as that was, it got to be a sloppy product in two. I was really – there was also a part of me that was obviously wanting an eighth overtime, but there was also a part of me that was saying, oh, God, let this game end.
Yeah.
So you got to end at some point, 74-72. And now, here we go with the other big one, a updated and a change to targeting rules. Our favorite penalty boys, targeting. Don't we just love it?
Absolutely.
Love it.
Doing stuff that they should have done in the first place here. It seems like we're going through like a 40 days and 40 nights through the desert with trying to fix the targeting rule.
Yeah.
Because remember when this was first instituted? Remember how even if the play got reviewed and there was no targeting, the penalty would still occur. You'd still get a 15-yard penalty. So stupid. They finally at least changed that. Now they're making some more tweaks here. So, there's now two changes to the targeting rules. First, starting with the upcoming season, penalties for targeting will either be confirmed or overturned. There's going to be no more targeting calls where it's going to stand. So it's going to be confirmed or overturned right here. So unlike any other plays where a play can stand, if you don't have the inconclusive evidence to overturn it, it's going to be confirmed or denied.
Yeah.
Simple as that. In the past, if instant replay officials could not conclusively state that targeting occurred, a played rule targeting on the field would stand, and the player would still be ejected. Only targeting fouls confirmed by replay will be upheld. The update to the rule removes the middle ground. The NCAA said, quote, if any element of targeting cannot be confirmed, the replay official will overturn the targeting foul. And additionally, the panel ruled that players who get three targeting penalties in the same season, they will have a one-game suspension that they will face.
Okay.
So this is basically, it's like, okay, we're going to make targeting, you know, black or white right here. There's going to be no more gray area. That means if you're getting called for targeting, you committed targeting. And if you get three of these, you're getting suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like with technical fouls in the NBA adding up throughout the season, facing a suspension here. Players already receive ejections for targeting and are suspended for the first half of the following game if the foul occurs in the second half. So, like the overtime thing being the result of an LSU game, this is also, you can say, kind of a result of an LSU game. Think of Devin White. He got ejected for targeting second half against Mississippi State, missed the first half against Alabama. There was a big, big movement to get Devin White in his first half suspension overturned.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole state of Louisiana almost burned. I think James Carville, man, he made the big scene on college
Golly,
game day.
Man, he did. Louisiana sports have gotten two bad screw jobs last year.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Kind of bad here. Here's some other rule changes here. Two other changes were passed yesterday. First, the NCAA has essentially eliminated the blindside block. Any block deemed to be a blindside block, quote, attacking an opponent with forcible contact, will be a 15-yard personal foul. If the block, quote, includes the elements of targeting, targeting rules will also be enforced. And then finally, the NCAA voted to eliminate the two-man wedge formation on kickoffs. Last year, the same rules panel made big changes to the kickoff. They allow players to call for a fair catch inside the 25-yard line, which would, if you did that, you would start to drive at the 25, just like a regular touchback. And the change was made, once again, towards improving player safety with, man, the kickoff. Kickoff will be eliminated within 10 years.
Yeah,
they're,
probably.
They're going to do an AAF type of thing where they're just going to eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you there we went from huge wedge formations on blocking kickoffs to you can't even do a two-man wedge. It's like, yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
Yep. Kickoff is going to go the way of the dodo very soon. Up or down on any of these rules, I think these are all great rules. Especially targeting. I'm the biggest fan of the targeting change.
I think not only are these rules accepted by all of us, and I would imagine the majority of the country, I think that these rules were absolutely needed. In terms of the targeting, I'm totally with you. I think there needs to be better ways, more and better ways to decide if it's targeting or not. I don't think you can just go to the replay and say, well, hit him in the head. Definitely targeting. It's like, yes, but there are also different instances of getting hit by in the head. Sometimes targeting, sometimes it is unnecessary roughness. The five plus overtimes actually happens more than I thought. Five overtime happened in 2018 as well, seven in 2017, five in 2016, five in 2013, seven in 2006. Now, Tennessee has been involved in a five overtime and a six overtime game.
Six overtime against Arkansas in the very next season, five overtimes against Alabama.
Well, there goes my trivia question.
Sorry.
Way to go, dude.
Sorry.
That was very nice.
That was in the formative years of my Tennessee fandom.
All right, can you name what Tennessee was ranked in either of them?
They were
ranked in both.
Okay, I was about
one
to say
one of them barely.
O2 was okay. Oh, I think the game that they were barely ranked. Do I have to get in the neighborhood and will you give me like a hint if I'm kind of close?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of leeway.
You said barely. I know that was 0-3 Alabama because they were and they lost two straight. They had lost to Alabama and Auburn, so they need to beat Alabama. I'm going to say 23rd.
22!
Ah!
Very good.
And
now the other
Arkansas,
one.
Ooh, I think that was earlier in the season. Ooh. Was it top 15?
Yes.
11th.
10th.
Ah, it was one off on both.
The official attendance for the Tennessee-Arkansas game was 105,688.
I miss Big Neyland.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before all those renovations.
But anyways, yes. Apparently this happens a lot more than I thought. Granted, it just seems it literally seems to be when it's 5+ or over, either two really crappy small schools or SEC schools. I'll let you look at this during the break, but it's kind of weird. But anyways, so I think both of these are very good. They're very productive. They're very needed. Shouldn't stir a lot of controversy. That's what I think.
While we're talking about the overtime thing, I think there's been 5-7 overtime games. I think all but one of them have involved SEC schools. And the one that didn't, I think,
that's
was it like Western Michigan and some other? Or was it Central Michigan?
No, three out of the five have been SEC. Western Michigan is correct. They played Buffalo.
Yeah, that
one
was crazy.
Get the other one in 2006.
Oh, was that the...
One of these teams was on Tennessee's schedule recently, within the last few years.
Oh, you say it was in 2006?
Yes.
I feel like I should know. What was it? I can't think.
FIU at North Texas.
That was right. I thought North
Texas
was involved.
7 overtime barn burner, 25-22.
And North Texas is also involved in what used to be the highest scoring combined college football game in regulation. They have like they played Navy in like 2007 and lost 74-62.
Sheesh.
Crazy game, yeah. Man, I'm good at college football trivia, ain't I?
Yeah, that is pretty good.
I think I'm pretty good here. So, do we think the targeting rule is going to be the most important one out of all of this? Or do we think it's something like the kickoff? They're eliminating the two-man wedge. So, I think this is just another nail in the coffin at the kickoff, as we know it. Which is a kickoff, man. Pretty important play in the history of college football.
Yeah.
Pretty important for players to make a name being a kickoff return specialist, and then they turned it into a good career in the NFL.
Yeah, the Devin Hesters of the world.
The Cordarrelle Pattersons.
Yeah.
Remind me again of what they said about the blindside block. You can't do that anymore.
Basically eliminated if you get caught doing a blindside block, that's a 15-yard personal foul. And if there's elements of targeting, it will be looked at for targeting as well.
Not a fan of that. Not a fan of taking away the blindside block. I'm just not. I mean, what are you supposed to do if a guy is coming to get your running back, your quarterback, and you have a chance to block him, but it's going to be a blindside, you're just going to let him go? It's either that or a 15-yard or an automatic first down. Mm. No. No. Or 15 yards back, excuse me? No, I'm not a fan of that at all. I get what they're doing, trying to eliminate the targeting and, you know, the head trauma and whatnot. But I'm not a fan of it. If it was a lesser penalty, I don't think I would be against it. But 15-yard personal foul, that's a lot. That's a lot. If that's a first down play, that's second and 25 right off the bat for one bad block. Mm. That should, in my opinion, still be legal. I'm not a fan of that one. All the other ones, yeah. All the other ones are good.
With the blindside thing, it's going to be like all these other rule changes that have been made. You're just going – coaches are going to have to work on that practice over the offseason. They're just going to have to – it's just going to be a habit-breaking thing.
It's going to take years if it ever does get out of the game, though, because these kids have grown up doing that. Everybody looks for that big crack.
It's a highlight play.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You grow up doing that. You look for it. So it's going to take a while if it ever does go away. I have a feeling it's going to screw Tennessee a couple times. It's going to screw every team. It's going to screw every team. It is.
Especially us.
Especially us.
Can't wait for the first time we get screwed by one of these new rules
pretty much.
But at the end of the day, if this keeps football as a sport, you know, alive, sure. Keep it from getting turned into flag football, I guess. I'll take it. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. You just kind of got to grin and bear it and just roll with the changes.
Yeah.
As REO Speedwagon once said, you got to roll with the changes.
Yeah. Of course.
Great underrated band right there. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Less than half an hour remaining on overtime here. We're going to have Rick versus Cole and the birthday game coming up next. Don't miss it.
Time to play the game!
right, let's not waste any time. It is the birthday game on April the 23rd. I will tell you, boys, pretty good day. We got some heavy hitters here. We got some, it's pretty good. I'm going to give it an A-.
Okay.
Just because of the heavy hitters
here. All right.
I think we already know one of them. So
I think we do.
It's all fair game, so it's just the first to tell me. I will get it. Let me get my headphones on here. I ain't going to get to it yet. Let's go ahead and get started. It's Rick versus Cole. It's been a low-key, good little series between Rick and Cole as of late.
It
really has.
Rick is he's coming to his own. He's gotten a lot more confident. He's gotten a lot of answers off faster. He's also had the help of a This Day in History, too.
I like to thank my man Franklin Delano Roosevelt for many of my
great wins. President. Great. The great New Deal, figure. The TVA, four terms.
Yeah.
Do you like FDR, Cole?
Screw him.
Oh!
Hey, I said what I said.
Just don't make a polio joke or anything.
I said what I said.
All right, let's get started here. He is
John Cena.
No! He is 58 today. It is not John Cena yet.
But I was about to say, man, he's 58?
No. Let me get started here.
Looks good for 58.
He's 58. He is an American comedian, actor. He is known for starring in his own self-produced ABC sitcom.
George Lopez.
It is George Lopez.
Hello. Rider.
Duh.
Rizzles. So. None of us know.
Man, I stayed up many a nights as a youngin.
You just when you pass out and you just roll over and you just see his big face on the
trampoline.
Man, he was
many a nights on Nickelodeon.
Remember his big robot character in Spy Kids?
Oh yeah,
forgot about that.
Man, the great George Lopez.
Man, I used to love that show.
All right, 1-0 Cole. Let's do some dead people. We got three dead people here. Three out of the seven are dead.
Yikes.
She would have been 91. Passed away back
Queen
in
Elizabeth.
No.
She's alive and her birthday was yesterday.
Yeah.
Actually. Or was it Sunday?
Sunday.
It was over the
it was
weekend.
Sunday.
Oh wow.
She turned 93. She passed away in 2014. She was an American actress, singer, dancer. Let's see. She was mainly She's mainly known for her role as a child actress. She was Hollywood's number one box office draw as a child actress from 1935 to 1938. She's really known for also for having a drink named after her as well.
Shirley Temple. Shirley Temple.
Yes, Shirley. Woo! Shirley Temple Black. Rest in peace. R.I.P. Yep. Y'all ever had Shirley Temple?
No.
Absolutely.
Rick has?
Not afraid to say it. Absolutely.
Are they good?
Yeah.
What does it taste like?
Cherry Sprite.
Oh, is it really?
It's traditionally made with ginger ale and a splash grenadine, garnished with a cherry. Modern Shirley Temple recipes may substitute lemon lime soda or lemonade and sometimes orange juice.
Ooh.
I've only had the – it's literally just cherry Sprite. Very good.
Pretty much. It looks like a cherry Sprite.
I like cherry Sprite. Cherry Sprite.
It's cherry Sprite except in like a cocktail glass. Yeah. You can act
I
like
mean, sometimes fancy. You can add alcohol to it. I'm not sure which.
They call it a dirty Shirley.
I'd imagine vodka.
Yeah.
Usually.
The dirty
vodka or rum is what this says here. 1.5 ounces.
Oh, okay, good. We got the recipes now in case you're about to make one there at home.
Love it. All right, here. 1-1. Next up, do more dead people. He would have been 83 today. He was an American rock and roll / I think he did country too. Yeah, he did rock pop country. He was a music legend. Passed away in 1988 at the age of 52. American singer songwriter. I will tell you the songs that he did. He began singing in a rockabilly country western band in high school, and he got signed by Sam Phillips of Sun Records in 1956. In his career, produced hits such as Only the Lonely, Crying, Oh Pretty Woman.
Elvis? Johnny Cash.
No, but and then in the 1980s, he was part of a super group. We actually play one of their songs here as a bumper. He co-founded the Traveling Wilburys, a rock super group with George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, and Jeff Lynne. Died of a heart attack in December of 1988. He was known for always wearing he always wore sunglasses.
George Jones.
No. Okay, I'm going to have to give it initials. R-O.
Ron.
Oh, no.
Five.
Orvis.
four.
Oh,
Ron Orson.
Nobody gets it. Roy Orbison.
No, Roy Orbison.
Never would have gotten
you not seen him?
I would have not
never.
Gotten
wow.
I
but would y'all, have not y'all know either. Pretty Woman, right?
Never.
The song Pretty Woman.
I know the,
yeah, that's
yeah.
him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ah.
Okay.
Pretty Woman.
That's kind of frustrating.
Don't know the name, but
it's okay.
Know the song and the movie.
That's also true.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. We're still tied at one here. Go back to a lot of people. He is 42 to date. John Cena. Yeah.
John Cena.
And just like you can't see John Cena, Cole did not see that coming
your
from
time
Rudy.
I really is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now.
2-1, Rick.
Who's the franchise? Okay, I'll stop.
This person is also 42 today. Shares the exact same birthday as John Cena.
Oh, wow.
He's an English comedian, writer, producer,
John
political
Oliver.
Commentator is John
oh,
Oliver. Another John.
My.
Another John.
He was
42.
First a correspondent for The Daily Show. And for a few years, he has hosted Last Week Tonight.
Now we're in the thick of yeah. things.
Did you know he's going to be in the live-action Lion King?
Yes.
Is he really?
Uh-huh.
Who's he going to be? Do we know?
Simba. Zazu. If he was Simba, I would never.
You guys have any interest in that movie?
Yes.
I have literally none.
Maybe. I might get dragged to it. I don't know.
I will be seeing it. The Lion King was a favorite movie of mine as a child.
Literally not. I think
live
I've
action?
Seen it once.
I
don't know. All the lions just look the exact same to me.
Wait
trailer.
A minute. You've only seen The Lion King once.
That is not
true. I don't know about this.
They don't look the same.
It would not be in my top
maybe,
probably 10 to 15.
Maybe
wow.
Maybe the background lions, yes, they look the same, but the characters that
the
have
trailer?
Lions.
In the trailer?
Are you talking about the original or this new one?
No, the new one.
Honestly, I haven't seen the trailer.
I can't tell
I
any of them apart.
I've seen the trailer.
I haven't
seen
it.
It's also weird.
I haven't seen it. Does it look
wish
good?
Wish they'd make them a little cartoony.
I mean, yeah, but it's just like they're doing all this stuff now. They're cashing on millennials' childhoods, just making the exact same movie with the exact same plot line, just live action.
I don't know, dude.
Did
the
same thing with
The
Beauty
good.
And the Beast.
Aladdin does look good.
Will Smith looks funny. This is a genie.
Yeah, but will there really be a genie who can be better than Robin Williams, though?
Maybe
ooh.
Will Smith.
Oh, Vols get another run.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Woo. Vols up 3-0. All right, let's go back to birthdays here. It's 2-2. Let's see the ones I haven't done yet here. Just two left. Okay, top at 2-2. You got two left. Anybody's game here. She's 19 today. Young one here. She's 19. Let me get the thing here. I will say that she's an American snowboarder. Youngest woman to ever win an Olympic snowboarding medal. She won the women's half pipe at 17 years old.
Oh, no.
Four-time X Games gold medalist.
Ashley? No.
No!
No, it's not. It's,
Five,
I can't remember her name.
Four.
Oh!
Three, two. Nobody gets it. Chloe Kim.
Yes! Chloe Kim! Yes! Dang it!
So now, wow.
Dang
two,
it.
Two that neither of y'all got.
Chloe Kim.
Does it all boil down to this?
It all boils down to a very historical figure that everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Mozart.
No.
Beethoven.
No! Stop! Stop! Stop or you're disqualified. Gotta wait. Here we go. It all comes down to this. And yes, it comes down to basically history again. So maybe it's on Rick's side.
It definitely is.
He would have been 455 today. Some say
Socrates.
He never existed at all.
Shakespeare.
Gotta give it to Cole.
Oh! Yes!
What?
William Shakespeare.
Yes!
What?
Do you think you got it first? I heard Cole. I had my headphones
go
in.
Go to the booth, the replay head to New York. Go to all of it. Call the New Yorkers.
Go to Birmingham.
Go to the Birmingham. Get the officials. What?
Cole said first. Cole said Shay first.
I
the
am
Shay.
Dumbfounded.
I have my headphones in. To avoid controversy like this. I try to avoid it. Is that the gun? It was like a photo finish in NASCAR. It's like the Daytona 500 photo finish.
Yeah, that was close. History back on my side.
Cole's front bumper just by a hair.
I'm like Lightning McQueen when he sticks his tongue out. and cars.
At least I have a hockey game on Saturday.
Didn't have it.
There it is.
That's why I don't feel bad for him losing right now. 865-546-8200.
I walk alone.
Last chance to get on the overtime. Back with wrapping up the show after this. Sing it, Rick. Trying to wrap up overtime here on this Tuesday. Final segment of the show before we get y'all out of here. Let's go over to the Fan Run phone lines in the show with a call from Roger. Roger, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, Tanner. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing fantastic, man. Cannot complain. What you got for us?
I can't complain either. I ask you how I can talk to you. How would you Easter, Tanner?
Oh, Roger, Easter. Had fantastic Easter, man. Thank you for asking. Yeah. Went back up to Campbell County, where I'm originally from. Got to hang out with family. Go to my old church. It was really good, Roger. Thank you for asking. Hope you had a good Easter too, man.
Yeah, either got to go. Yeah, go to church, and I got to go to Cracker Barrel. So that was fun.
Love the Cracker Barrel, Roger.
I
said I love the Cracker Barrel, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's great. Have you been there, Tanner?
Oh, I've been there a million times, man.
Yeah, it's good to eat there. So, but I just want to ask you, Tanner, about I want to ask you about the story today. I didn't get to hear the whole story today, but I heard the video. What happened about the story today about you today? What was the story about that?
Raj, basically it was so yesterday Seth Davis, who is a national college basketball writer, he works for The Athletic now. He had a story about UCLA's coaching search, which ended up with Mick Cronin. And, of course, when he was trying to chronicle it, he was going to get to talking about Rick Barnes and him almost taking the UCLA job. Well, a source told him that Rick Barnes is actually the first person to reach out to UCLA. It wasn't UCLA reaching out to him that started the discussions. That was what was in the report. Rick Barnes comes out the very next day, comes out the day and says it's an absolute lie. He did not do that. It was UCLA who reached out to him in early April. It was actually somebody who was not – he was associated with UCLA who first reached out to him. And then later in the week, it was officially UCLA, their athletic director, Dan Guerrero, who reached out to Rick Barnes. So Barnes is calling that an absolute lie. Barnes is saying he didn't reach out to UCLA first.
It's interesting, Tanner, you say that, because you say he said he'd – he did, but he said he didn't do it. So I wonder who's right on that.
Roger, we all pretty much agree that we were going to give Barnes the benefit of a doubt right here. At least, I mean, I certainly am. That's my standpoint. If he was so brutally honest in his first press conference after he signed the contract to get the raise and that he was going to be staying here at Tennessee for the foreseeable future, if he was honest enough to say that, if they could work out the buyout deal, he'd probably be UCLA's head coach. If he's honest enough to say that, I don't think he'd be lying the fact that, no, he didn't reach out to them first. It was them who reached out, which started all the discussions. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt here. I'm going to trust him on this one.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah, I trust him, too. And I also want to ask you, are you impressed with the UT Baylor team? How they've been doing so far this year? They've been pretty good so far, Tanner. Have you been impressed with them?
Yeah, man. Hey, Roger, thanks for a phone call, brother. Up against it. But yeah, man, watching the Volatiles right now, they got a 4-0 lead in the top of the eighth against Gardner Webb, going for win number 31, which already you still have a few more SEC series left to go in the regular season. You hold on right here, you're going to have two more wins than you had all of last season. I'm thinking the baseball team is a year ahead of schedule where a lot of people thought they were going to be. And you can't help but get excited now, man. You got a top 20 team, consensus. They're fun to watch.
They really are. Yeah, it's a fun group to watch. I mean, I haven't been this excited about baseball in a while. I mean, I've grown up watching. My dad is a huge baseball fan. But I'm excited for this team. I mean, we won 28 games total last year. We're already at 30. The season, you know, we've kind of got a couple more weeks of the season. It's exciting times. The team is only going to get better. I'm looking forward to what is to come under Tony Vitello and his staff as long as he stays here at Tennessee. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Once again, Roger, appreciate the phone call here. A little time left here to give you another update here. Like I said, it's 4-0 Tennessee, top of the eighth, one on, nobody out. Oh, just got somebody. Oh, no, that was a ball. Never mind.
It seems like it should be a fairly routine win.
I thought he struck him out. Yeah, should be a routine win right here. Forward of Altello's got a tough one, Arkansas, this weekend, though. Arkansas is a top 10 team. Top in the West.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they swept Mississippi State this last weekend. Number two Mississippi State swept them.
Yikes.
And Mississippi State pretty much hammered us. So it's going to take the best effort from all the guys, but I think they can do it.
Yeah, I certainly think they can, too. I don't think they're going to get swept or anything like that. I think they're way too competitive to face something like that for sure.
I agree.
And that'll do it tonight for overtime here. Rick Butler, you got your jabs in. You got your victory lap.
I did. I feel good about it.
Congrats, Rick. Thank you for joining us here tonight. I don't know why he's shaking my hand for. I'm not that mad over it. But
there needed to be a
for Rick Butler and Cole McCork, I'm Tanner Carson. You've been listening to Overtime. Be back same time tomorrow at 6 o'clock. See you then.